Let's start with Pasuk Zion tonight. The Navi here on top page one. Vatetze min hamokom asher yitzei shama. Naomi, after the death of Mahlon and Kilion, and left with her two barren daughters-in-law, she left the place asher yitzei shama, the sheft place where she was, ushtei kaloseh ima, and her two daughters-in-law with her. Vatelachna, they went baderech on the road l'shuva l'eretz Yehuda, to go back to the land of Yehuda. Now you can follow along with my notes, so they're on page 8 tonight. The Medrash notes by Naomi that the famous Medrash, which we all know from Yaakov Avinu, applies here also to Naomi. Yaakov, it says, Vayetze Yaakov, and on that we say that when the tzaddik is in the city, he's the glory of the city, the radiance of the city, the pride of the city, and when he leaves, it makes an impression. So it says the same thing by Naomi on this pasuk. Vatetze Naomi, when she left, Pana Ziva, Pana Hoda, Pana Hadora. Why? Reb Tzadok explains that when Naomi left, Ruth left Moab as well. And she, Ruth, of course, included the soul of Mashiach, which would rectify Am Yisrael. This was the indelible impression, the loss, which was registered in Moab at the time. Why is the credit given to Naomi? Because she was the one who schlepped Ruth and was Machnisar under the Kanfet Shechina, who brought about the Ruth's conversion to Judaism. Now, why Mashiach? The glory of Moab was left behind. Well, left, actually. Oh, well, every nation, it's a good question. Every nation has some positive aspect. Otherwise, once they lose the positive access, the aspect, they essentially lose their reason for existence, the raison d'etre. How do they lose their positive aspect? By Am Yisrael getting that positive aspect, which that nation had in waiting for them all those years. So here, Moab has fulfilled its tachlis in Am Yisrael's history. What has it done? It's produced Ruth, who now is leaving Moab. So that's the point we're making. The glory of Moab, the potential greatness, the potential Avodas Hashem, which Moab was supposed to serve, has finished at this time. It's not exactly the same thing like by Yitzhak Yaakov, but the idea here is that the impression made was that Moab has been erased from the map. Right. As far as it exists, but as far as Am Yisrael is concerned, has no significance anymore. No significance. Mitzrayim, in fact, it has no significance since the time of. I should say like this: Mitzrayim had no significance after Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu warned Am Yisrael not to go back to Mitzrayim anymore. However, it could be that at a later date, after Sancheiriv mixed up all the nations and moved one nation here and another nation there, that Mitzrayim would have significance for Am Yisrael. And indeed, we see no less a personage than the Rambam was in Mitzrayim, so Mitzrayim did serve a positive purpose subsequently. But until that time, we see for several thousand years there was nothing in Mitzrayim, and the people went back to Mitzrayim and attempted to reestablish a community there, the Alexandrians. They were annihilated by Tyrannus, I forget exactly his name, one of the Greeks who came and annihilated the community. So we see that they were not supposed to go back to Egypt precisely for that reason. Now, you see throughout Jewish history this is true, that once a nation generally, once a nation, a country has been left, the Jews have left, even if they come back, they've come back in small numbers and there's no longer any significance to that community. With rare exception, you go from Spain to France to Poland and Lithuania and all these countries, there's never been any return, right? Some of them are longer ago in the 1300s and 1400s, some of them relatively recently in the 1900s, but be that as it may, these lands don't retain any essential kedusha. That's important to realize. As much as a chassid might want to give kedusha to Poland or Galicia or Hungary, but really, they don't have it. It's not the same anymore. There's nothing there. It's empty husks, right? Vilna without the Jews is in it. It's not Yerushalayim Delita anymore, right? It's not the same thing as the real Yerushalayim. So this is true about Moab as well. Moab had a purpose. It served it. That's it. It's finished. Am I... Making myself clear? Yeah, okay. So, why Mashiach has to come from Moab is something which we'll have to deal with later in the Sefer. But a couple of interesting things that the Medrash says. First of all, the Medrash says they went barefoot. Now, there's several reasons for this. The partial reason is perhaps because they were poor. After all these years and the loss of all their property, they had no money for shoes. Perhaps also they did it to avoid detection. Right, they wanted to sneak out of Moab because you have to realize, of course, Rus and Orpah were, according to the Medrash, the daughters of Eglon, the king of Moab. So these are very important people. It wasn't perhaps easy for them to leave Moab, so therefore they had to do it surreptitiously. Perhaps they also took off their shoes because they're approaching the Holy Land. Admas Kodesh, right? Shal Nalech Me'al Raglecha, because it's an Admas Kodesh, it's a holy place. Okay, there's no such halacha. But they were doing it out of a sense of imminent covet of honor for Eretz Yisrael. Now, the another thing which it says on the Medrash is that they went on Yom Tov, and this Yom Tov is obviously Pesach, because when we get back, we see they're just harvesting the grain, so this is Pesach. Now, Pashut Pshat is that they went back on Yom Tov. They walked on Yom Tov itself because of Pikuach Nefesh. That's why Naomi was allowed to walk on Yom Tov. But it could be also that not just because of Pikuach Nefesh, but also because this is a parallel to the redemption from Mitzrayim. This is laying the seeds for the future Geula through the Mashiach, which comes from Rus. So therefore, there's a commemoration or corresponding to that fact, this exodus from Moab took place on Pesach, just like the original exodus from Egypt took place on Pesach as well. Okay, let's see Pasuk Ches. Vatomer Naomi, l'shtebno l'shtekalosa, Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, lechna shovna isha l'beis ima, each one of you, go back to your mother's house. Yas Hashem imachem chesed, God should do with you chesed, kindness. Kasher asisem, like you did, imamesim, with the dead ones, with my the dead sons. She said, imavimadi, and with me myself. Very interesting things in the pasuk. First of all, if you take a look back at the previous pasuk, from the pasuk Zayin, it says ushteicha osa imah. They went on the way. What does it mean on the way? Obviously they went on the way. Where else are they going? So the mommy wants to say that she thought, Naomi, that they were only accompanying her on the derech. They weren't coming with her all the way to Yehuda. They were fulfilling the mitzvah of Levoya, of accompanying. So therefore now, she said, okay, enough is enough. Go back. Shovna isha lebeis ima. You've accompanied me enough. I don't need you anymore. Go back home. Thank you. What chasadim did they do with Naomi? So Chazal say that they were meichel. They forgave the ksuvas which their husband owed them. Not only that, they paid for their husband's shrouds. Right? If that's the case, it's clear that they obviously must have had money on their own, as Chazal say they're princesses here. From here, we also learn. From this pasuk and the subsequent psukim, it says shovna three times. Shovna means return, and we learn from this that you have to push off a ger who comes to convert three times before you accept him or her, and that's what Naomi was doing. She was trying to push them off. As an interesting shot here of Yosef Lipovitz, if you take a look in the handout on page 3. I have the A. It says a very interesting thing here. Mitoch she'amar lehem shlosh pa'amim, since she said to them three times, shovna, return, love the rabbi, saying the rabbis learn, shadochim asageyat shlosh pa'amim, you push off a gear three times. Ava dibura rishon she'naomi, but in the first name of Naomi, yesh to milah nosepes. There's an additional word, lechna shovna. Go, return, walk back and go back. And with Chazal heard in this already, milvad ba'koshas oshron shel akalos, besides Naomi's quest for the future happiness of her daughter-in-laws, umilvad b'chias again, besides the fact that she wants to reject the ger, because Allah demands it, od kol p'nimi shel Naomi, there's also what Chazal heard, an inner voice of Naomi, lechna, go, And this is where it seems to be extraneous. Hishtakev, they were reflected with Sona Hakamus, their inner desire, Sheyashuvu, that they should go back. Zoya Osram, Chazal, that's what Chazal say. Livnei Ma Machzer, so some, why she want them to go back? They should look these bayish for him. In order they shouldn't embarrass her. Because, Kshel Sol, Lefanea, Barrega, Rishona, Satmuna, when she thought in her mind's eye of the scene, Shehi Nomi, that she Nomi, Ishtosha Elimelech, the wife of Elimelech, Imam Shaboni, Mephrosim, and the mother of those glorious sons, Chazeres, Lebeis Lechim, Shtei Kalos, Nachrios, comes back home with two Shiks, the daughters-in-law, he's ganeva libo, they're stolen to her heart, regish shabusha, a feeling of embarrassment, the regish nistar zeh, and this same emotion, matzal abitu, he found expression, but milas in the word lechna, go home.
So she was emphasizing that she wanted them to go home.
She wanted them to go home. It wasn't just the chiyas hager pushing them off because of halacha, but the extra word lechna intimates to us that she really didn't want them to come. This is, you know, this is what she's going to show off when she gets home. There's embarrassment. Right. Besides that, I want to focus here for a second on something which is sheer speculation on my part, and it's probably wrong, but hey, why not? The Pasuk says here, in Pasuk Ches, there's a Kriuk Sif. It says in the Pasuk, Yas, the Kri, actually, I should say, is Yas, and the Ksiv is Yaseh, with a Hey. So what's the between Yas and Yaseh? So, first of all, before I tell you that, I want to tell you there's only one other place in Tanakh we have a parallel phrase. Yas Hashem Imochem Chesed, we have a similar phrase by David HaMelech. It says, Yas Hashem Imochem Chesed Ve'emes, so the people of Yavesh Gilad who buried Shaul after Shaul's death. So it's interesting because in both places, the phrase Yas Hashem Imochem Chesed is used in conjunction with a Chesed Shalemes, with something which had to do with a chesed to a dead person. Here it says, Kasher yim sisim im ha-meisim v'imodi, like you did to the dead, Machlon and Kilion. And also there it's saying about the chesed which Anshu Yavish Gilad did was show that he buried him, they buried him after his death. So, it could be that what we're saying here is that I'm not sure exactly what to make of that now on second thoughts, whether there's a connection between the two, it's the same, those two things. But I don't know exactly why this Lashon of Yas Hashem Imachem Chesed is used in both of these places where Davka has to do with Chesed Shalemes. But I think that the pshat is that any other Chesed is not completely Shema. Because after all, you could get a quid pro quo for it. A chesed you do with a mace is called chesed shalemes. Why? Because you're not going to get any return on it. Because he's dead. So here, when we say Yas Hashem Imachim Chesed, when we bring the bracha of Hashem down on somebody's head for having done a chesed, we say, since you did a chesed lishma, completely lishma, for selfless reasons, with no hope of return from mankind, so therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu should restore that chesed to you. That's one thing. Besides that, I was pondering what the difference between Yas and Yaseh is, without a and with a hey. So I have a difference which I don't think is true, but maybe is, which is that Yas with Yaseh with a hey means to make, whereas Yas without an hey means to do. Now, if you look in a concordance, you'll see there are many exceptions to that rule. But in general, I think it's true that Yaseh means to make something, and Yas means to do. So therefore, when we talk about a chesed shel emes here, when a Kosh Baruch Hu is repaying this chesed, so then, since it was done so much lishma, so then we don't use the lashon normally we use the lashon of yas. Both here and in Shmuel, the ksiv, there's no nafkamina between, there's no difference between the kri and ksiv. But both here and in Shmuel, the language which we read is ya'as. God should do for you a chesed, just like you did chesed by the tchiyah, to the mason. But there's another layer meaning which is alluded to by the kri, which is ya'aseh with a hey. Now, Yaseh with the hay is perhaps allusion to the fact that since they demonstrated such a powerful midah of chesed, then they can be remade into Jews. By that I mean that we know that Moabim are not allowed to marry into Am Yisrael. Al dvar asher lo kidmu eschem balechem uvamayim b'derech tzitzchem Mitzrayim, because they were the antithesis of chesed. They were stingy and they wouldn't give Am Yisrael what to eat and drink. So here, where Rus and Orpah displayed such a great measure of chesed, they displayed that they don't have that intrinsic trait which makes Moab so reprehensible. That means that Naomi perhaps is alluding with the hey, Yaseh, that God should make you, not just do to you what you did and give you chesed back, but God should remake you. And where do we see Gerus is called remaking? By Avram Avinu, it says that when Avram Avinu went up to Eretz Yisrael, who did he take with him? The nefesh which he made in Choron. What does made there mean? He was Megayer them. So here too, the extra hay is alluding to not just that Hashem should repay you, do to you what you did unto the others, unto the Mesim, which is a chesed shel emes, but besides that, since you manifested such a beautiful midah of chesed, then you can be remade into Jews. Yaseh, you can become now Jews, even though most Moabim cannot. Male Moabim cannot, yes. Not everybody knew. We're going to get that later in the Sefer. Not yet. Okay.
Can you work in the extra?
Be interesting. Yeah, that's a good connection. Avraham had the extra hay. Sarah had the extra hay. And Yoshua also got an extra hay. So we see that whenever a person, that'll come be significant again this later on this evening. So we see whenever a person is remade, there's an extra hay. So Yaseh, very interesting. That's very good. Yeah, fits in very well. Shkoyah. Okay, let's go on to the next pasuk. Yud, Tesin Yud. Va'yitein Hashem lochem, because Baruch Hu should give you this favor, umitza'ena, and you should find menucha, rest or respite, isha, each one of you women, base isha in the house of a husband. Vatishaklohen, and she kissed them. Vatisena kolon, and they uplifted their voices, they raised their voices. Vatifkena, and they cried. Vatomar no la, but they said to her, kitach noshub. No, rather we want to go back, noshub, kitach noshub lamech, rather we want to go back with you to your nation. So let's see Rabbi Yosef Lipovitz on this too. He has a very interesting shot. On Yitin Lachem, again on page 3. The Chazal Pirshua, grab the B. Chazal explained that this Yitin Hashem Lachem is going on Shlomo. Yitin Hashem Lachem, on Rabbi Yossi said, call out Toivas, all the goods. All the good things, Vanachomas and the consolations, Shaasi, Akash Baruch, Yitain Lashlomo, Akash Baruch is eventually going to give the Shlomo HaMelech. Dichsiv, as it says, Vayitain Elohim Chachma to Shlomo, God gave wisdom to Shlomo, Yeah Mikem, may it all be from you. Bechorim Mukshim Advarim, this is difficult, this Medrash. Vechi Naomi Nevi'o Iso, is Naomi a prophetess? Yodam HaShaasi, Akash Baruch, Yitain Lashlomo, and she knew what God was going to give to Shlomo? Well, this is what it means. Naomi ro'oban hogas kaloseh. Naomi saw in the conduct of her daughters-in-law, see a record shel chesed she'ena olam yodeh dugmas. So the world knows no examples of this. Atramatonos haregilos, so that the simple gifts, the regular gifts, shel osher chaim of satisfaction in life, shel kodesh baruch hu ma'ik be'odem, which God gives to mankind, and ben k'dei gemul b'shvilon, they're not sufficient reward for them. The Omeris, therefore she says, Yitain Hashem lachem, now God should give you V'adgashani, the stress is al ami lachem is on the word you. Yitein lachem dover chadash, God should give you something new. Shlonita lachem adayin lachem, which was never given to anybody else. Dover shu michutz and sinos shu sidrei olam, something above and beyond the normal gifts in the world. So I don't know. I'm not sure exactly why it's such a big chesed, but Rabbi Yosef Leibovitz here to try seems to say that this is a tremendous, tremendous above and beyond act of chesed on the part of the. On the part of the daughters-in-law, that they didn't take a ksuva, and that they didn't they paid for the shrouds, and that they lived with these people for 10 years, and that they were wanted to go back with Naomi. Now there's so much chesed. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Naomi said, Magia lochem. This is what you really deserve, and therefore you should have this. And Naomi didn't know exactly how it would manifest itself. So, yes, Shlomo, not Shlomo. She was saying, she felt, though, something special must come about here. Yeah. Right. Moab was a horrible place, yeah.
And yet they're showing this, this could be a very...
Thanks, in other words, based on the circumstances...
where they lived and how they grew up and everything, how they...
We don't know how they came. We could speculate, but we don't know. That's an interesting thing. Right. He probably saw some degree of refinement in Machlon and Kilion, as little as there was, above and beyond in Moabi. Right, because Moab was so so low, so base and corrupt. Okay, so the so that's what the Medrash means, not that she knew that Shlomo HaMelech would come from Ruth, but she had a hunch. There's so much chesed going on here. These people are Olam Chesed Ibonah. They're participating in the building of the world in such a strong way that there must be some special reward in store for them. Vatomer Naomi said, Shov Nabnosai, again, go back, my daughters. Lama Selech Naimi, why would you want to go with me? Holy Bunim Bimei, do I still have children in my innards? Va'ayu Lachem Lanoshim, that will marry you and be your husbands? Another Pasuk. Shov Nabnosai, go back, my daughters, again, Shovna. Lechna, go. Kizakanti miyos leish, because I'm too old to get married to a husband. Ki amarti yeshli tikva, even if I said I had hope. Kama isi alayla ish, or if tonight I would be with a man. Pagami lati boanim, and I would give birth to children. Halohen tisaberna, are you going to wait for them? Ad asher yigdolu, until they grow up. Halente agunah, are you going to remain agunos and wait for them? Vivotia yeshlish, not to marry any men. Abunosai, don't do it, my daughters. Kimali mod mikem, I'm very bitter because of you. Ki yatzah vi yad Hashem, because the hand of God has come out. Yad Shaddai limod, because the hand of God has gone out against me very, very much. Yeah. The pashas is that they were not Megayah beforehand. It was a minuk. They had a ksuva. You're right. There wouldn't be a ksuva midin. But even by going, they had a marriage contract. Yeah, dowry, it's, you know, an agreement, prenuptial. There was something there. They were Megayah, whatever it was. That's what comes out to be according to that midrash. A lot of times you find that the Gemara Medrash uses things which we normally associate with Judaism in conjunction with other nations because there is common custom. Um, Obviously not. Let's see what the Malvin says on that. It's an interesting Malvin. It's cute. The Malvin says, let's go back now. Look at Pasuk Yudbeis again. Yud Aleph first. First, Nomi says. First, he says, "Vatamar Nomi shov no benosai." Now, Rabbi Yosef Lipovitz notes that this is the first time she calls them benosai. They never called daughters before. Now, Nomi is warming up to them a little bit. I know. After 10 years, takes that long. But she's saying, "Oh, my daughters," because she sees their dedication to her. Now, most Mefarshim are forced by these two psukim, as I mentioned before, to say that Rus and Orpah were not converted. Because were they converted, halachically, they wouldn't be allowed to marry any children born to Naomi. So the whole discourse by Naomi is not correct, up here, halacha, because Yibum only applies when the child is already born at the time that the brother dies. But when the brother dies, and no brothers, even if they're born later on, there's no din yibum. But I don't think that that's such a strong proof. One could always say that she was being allegorical, or she was waxing, you know, poetic, and she didn't really mean it. But in any event, that's what the ride they want to bring from this. The Malvim has a very interesting shot here. The Malvim said makes two assumptions. A, that bonim and fetuses are not the same thing. You can't call a newborn son or a child which you're pregnant with a ben. That's his first assumption. The second assumption is that Naomi was invoking a chazal here. The chazal say a woman who was widowed for 10 years can no longer have kids. Except, unless she was looking forward the whole time to get remarried and have more kids. If she was looking forward the whole time, so then she doesn't lose her ability to give birth. But if she was widowed without looking forward for that whole time, she just gave up and never getting married again, then after 10 years she loses her capacity to have children. And here, of course, it's been 10 years since Elimelech died, because Elimelech died right when they got there. Short time after they got there. So it's 10 years later. So this is the way the Malbim reads the Psukim. In Pasuk Yudavi says, the Pshadits are only Banim B'mei'ai. Do you think I'm hiding children under my skirts? Full-grown children? Mei'ai, not meaning in the womb, but in my stomach, or somewhere in behind my body. And those will be your lanoshim, those will be your husbands. I'm not hiding any kids. Nothing up my sleeve. That's first. Now she says, because I'm too old to get remarried. Why? Because the 10 years have passed. And he says the 10 years passed on that day. That was the 10-year anniversary, the 10th year yahrzeit since Elimelech died. So he says, it's 10 years. Tonight, the only hope I would have is if the only way I could have kids after 10 years is if I had a tikva, if for the last 10 years I was constantly hoping to get remarried, or if tonight I had relations with a man and conceived a child. Otherwise it's impossible. So says Naomi, but let's say, so even if one of those things could come true, that I had hope the whole 10 years of getting remarried, or that tonight I could be with the man and have children. So, is it worthwhile for you to wait? It's not worthwhile. Halanti sabarna. You're going to wait long for them. It's not going to die for you. And here too, there are two different parts here. Tisavarna means a certainty. Even if I was certain that these children would grow up, is it worth it for you? And igun is when it's on an uncertainty. And here, it's definitely not even certain. It's only an uncertainty. Maybe they'll have kids, maybe they'll grow up. You're going to wait for that? It's certainly not going to die for them. So, therefore, she said, go back. But she said it in a very interesting way. She said, Al benosai, no, my daughters, ki malim on mikem. How could you interpret that, Pasuk Kipshuto? You gave me tzaras. That you made life miserable for me. So let's hear Rabbi Yosef Lipovitz on that. Let's turn to page... Now, page 4. I didn't read Pasuk Yudal yet. Let me read on Pasuk. It's on page 4. I'm going to have to read it first. So let's read that there on the top right, top left. Vatisena kolon, they uplifted their voices, vativkeno, and they cried. Ode, more. Vatishak or polachamasa, orpa kissed her mother-in-law and walked away. Ruth dafkaba, and Ruth cleaved to her. Now, let's take a look here. I have the A. L'chornid me would seem, she orpa hi ha-shomas b'kolchamasa. Orpa is listening to her mother-in-law, who Mekayim says to her, fulfills the words, and goes back home. Vilu Rus is the one, Machlita das Atma, follows her own opinion, not her mother-in-law's request. Av Chazal Rin Lefe, Chazal say exact opposite. Lama Shmo Orpa, why was her name Orpa? Shavcha Oref L'chamosa. She turned her neck against her mother-in-law. Virus, Sheroa Saladi V'chamosa. Ruth saw the words of her mother-in-law and followed. Ki Naomi, because Naomi tokedei adchia b'dur shebefia, while she was rejecting with her mouth, karas, between the line, karas lam, she's calling them pa'ami several times, but no sight. My daughters, b'mokum kaloisa, instead of my daughters-in-law. Uvamila imoi zun, with this motherly word, shiatsami ma'amoke liba, she comes from the depths of her heart, shtufu mimago sfuna, there in this word there is hidden kriya nistara mitzida, a quiet or sug or hidden call from her. Shalom ein doicha me'leos b'noseh, that since she's like a mother and a mother doesn't push away her daughter, you should come with her. Achatzlil ha'nugazeh, but that precious ring, shirad, which trembled b'divrei Naomi, in the words of Naomi, l'giya lo'ozna shirus, reached Ruth's ear, avolo'ach. But it not reached the ears of Orpa. Let me skip down a line. Yes, okay. Besides that, Nizifa he medamelishma. Orpa thought she was hearing a rebuke with Divrei Naomi. In the words of Naomi, Kimali ma'od mikem, mikem boli kol atzaros. From you came all of my problems. Uvof and Shmiah son, and in the way they heard, their selective hearing, Nizgala l'rishoina, they became revealed. Clearly, the difference between the two of them. Now, it's interesting because Chazal note the unique quality of the kiss here. Who kissed Naomi?
Orpah did,
not Ruth. Right? So Chazal say, take a look here on the same page and see. Chazal monim kama sugim shel nishika. Chazal enumerates several forms of kisses. Nishiko Shogdula, kiss to somebody who's become great. Shanasak Shmuel Shol, Shemashkol Melech, the way Shmuel kissed Shol when he anointed him. Nishiko Shel Prokim, Nishiko which comes when you see somebody after a long time. Nishiko Shel Aaron Moshe, when Aaron Moshe met after such a long time, they met at Har Sinai Vaishaklo. Nishiko Shel Precious, a Nishiko of distancing. Vatishak Orpa L'chamoisa. When Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. And, Kloimar, in other words, Yesh Nishika Machzek Zakesher Ben Shnei Anoshim. There's a kiss which strengthens the bond between two people. Go Nishika Moshe Aaron, like the kiss of Moshe Aaron. V'yesh Nishika HaMenatekes, which severs as Zakesher, the connection Shoyah Kayim Ben Nevesh Nevesh, which exists between the souls. The Dugma Muhapaka Lakach, a shining example of that is the Shika Shel Orpah, the kiss of Orpah. Why the kiss of Orpah? Obviously, because Shemitaycha, out of this kiss, Yofechas Oref, she turns her neck L'chamoisa, V'gam L'kol Darcha Kodemes, and all of her previous ways, Shabbat Sa'adah, which she marched Achri Chamoisa behind the mother-in-law, Liskarev Amisro, to come close to Amisro. Orpah Chozeres El Shorsha Moavi. Orpah goes back to her Moab Moabite source, Shemafah Faz Bo Asina, which there bubbles up the hatred, the ancient hatred on Roshana, L'Amisro. Ubanan, her children, Rufi Masoras Chazal, according to the Masor of Chazal, Fanu Chomim B'Yisrael. They fight Amisro. Which one was the best fighter? The Goliath HaPlishti, you know that. Goliath comes from Orpah. It's her son. Yeah. Shavhumi Bonea, Mecharef Arboim Yom, he blasphemes for 40 days, Marachos Elohim. Now, It's amazing. Marachos Elokim Chaim, the battlefields of Israel. It's amazing. Take a look in D. Shabbatanach Shakosh Hashem is Abba Seila. You'll do the harpa begas. Harpa is harpa. She gave birth to four people. Amar Rava. It's remarkable. B'schus arba demos, in the merit of the four tears, Sharida Arpa Chamosa, which Arpa shed on her mother-in-law, Zachsa she merited, V'yotsu mimen arba giborim. And she had four mighty children. Isha Ora Nosefes, B'divir Chazal, Chazal to say, Arba Yitzchak, Arba Milin Hocha Arpa im Chamosa, she read four meal with her mother-in-law, V'amte men arba giborim. And she had four mighty warriors as children. No, this is a reward. This is a schar. A schar would be if somehow or another some distant relative of hers became a king in Am Yisrael. But it's a reward to give her such a great enemy of Am Yisrael. That's the Yiddish nachas. The Moabite nachas. What's the pshat? What does schar mean? How can you use this in the context of reward? It's a very difficult passage. Very difficult medrash. So, this is my spin on it. I don't know if it's true or not true. But my spin is, look, what is the schar in having a kid like Golias? The schar is a backhanded one. That your child serves as an instrument of a terrific Kiddush Hashem. Right? After all, Goliath served as a tool for David HaMelech's Kiddush Hashem. If there wouldn't be any Goliath, there wouldn't be any David, right? Okay, it's like a backhanded compliment, but it worked, right? There was a backhanded Kiddush Hashem here. That's what Orpa gets. Why does Orpa get that? Because Neshika, a kiss, is an act of connection, but not an act of Dveikus. Not an act of clinging. Why? Because we know that how do you cling to something you admire? Chazal say, it says to be dovik in HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'atem advekim b'Hashem Elokeichem. It says it's supposed to be l'dovka bo. So Chazal say v'achiv shali dovik b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can you cling to Hashem? It's not possible. So what did Chazal say? Well, how are you supposed to cling to Hashem? Well, how specifically through Torah? By hidavik b'midoisav, by emulating Hashem. If you emulate Hashem, you become divine as well. Mahu rachum, afate yerachum. Just like he's merciful, you be merciful, etc., etc. So, Arpa merited a continued connection to Am Yisrael. That's true. But she wasn't Dovek in Am Yisrael. That's a Ruth did. When Ruth was Dovek in Am Yisrael, that means she herself emulated the finest characteristics of Klal Yisrael, and that education was passed on to her children. Arpa, all she manifested was a connectedness to Am Yisrael, a Shaychus, but not being like the Jews. Well, since there was no education to be passed on to her children together with her connection, so then, well, yeah, she retained her connection to the Jews, but her kids, who were brought up as Moavim or Plishtim, became enemies of the Jews. Yes, it's true that in that way, they were also connected to the Kiddush Hashem of Klal Yisrael, but in a negative sense. Why? If you want to connect to the Kiddush Hashem and ensure that it's going to be in a positive sense, then it's not just enough to connect to Am Yisrael. You have to be Dovik in Am Yisrael. And to be Dovik means to take the midos of Am Yisrael, and only then will those midos be taken over by your children, and you'll make sure that you have a kid like Rus, whose kids were David HaMelech as opposed to Goliath HaPlishti. So that's the Chitrina Neshika, which connects, and Dveikus, which is to cling and emulate. Now,
was there a connection between Arpa and Ruth? I mean, were they related in some way?
It's from Chazal's Masha, they were sisters.
Oh, they were?
Yeah, they're both the daughters of Eglon Melech Moav. I don't know if they're actual daughters. They could have been granddaughters, great-granddaughters, but it seems like they were sisters. Although I'm not sure if that's true, 100%. Maybe they were cousins, related. Maybe it's just symbolic, but it seems like they were sisters. Okay?
So it seems ironic that it's their great-grandchildren who meet in the
great-grandchildren meet in battle. Right. Cousins. Okay? Now, another point here is that the two meanings which Chazal give to the word Ruth, one is that we saw before, Orpah turned her back and Ruth saw. She saw, she had vision of what God Kleiser was, she continued on. There's another meaning which Chazal give the word Ruth. If you turn to page 5, Chazal say Lomini Krosh, and I have the letter E. Chazal say Lomini Krosh Mar Rus. Why was she called Rus? Shemimena Yotze David. Because from her came David. Sheriva, who satiated La Kodesh Baruch Hu, Beshirim Vitzish Baruch Hu. So Revoya, Akosi Revoya means my cup runneth over, means to be satiated. Haloshon Sheriva, Kodesh Baruch Hu, what does it mean that it satiates Hashem? Mashmo, it means Yoser Mishahuba Bishirov Shal David, more than David expresses in his songs, and Kodesh Baruch Hu does not demand for more of mankind. Vashoresh, and the source, Shemimenet Somcha Shirosu Shal David, which David's songs came from, Hayatamun, was embedded Benafsha Sharus and Rus's soul. So an interesting thing here is that Chazal, Gemara Chumash says, "Vatoyso Mashem Ukechoshol Meimach." What does Hakadosh Baruch Hu ask for you? Kim LeYira, to fear God, but it doesn't mean fear. It means to perceive, to have awe of God, and Yira is connected to, of course, it's an old word. I've said it many times. Yira is connected to jumble the letters, Riya, right? Vision. That's the first aspect of Ruth. The Re'iyah, to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, to have a vision of what the great destiny of Klal Yisrael is, that's the initial part of Ruth. And that's how Ruth started out, by seeing the Midos of Naomi and wanting to emulate them, be Dovek in them. And that leads to Revoya. If you have that Yira, that's all Hashem asks. If you begin there, then as a natural course of affairs, it must follow that you reach from that beginning the Revoya of David HaMelech being Meravitz HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Shiros V'Tishbachos. If it starts there with the Yira, and then you're Dovik in Hashem, then the natural result, the ultimate result, will be a David HaMelech. But if you just admire it, if you feel connectedness, if you feel that Jewish tradition is a very nice thing, but it's not mechayev of you, it doesn't require you to do things, then ultimately, yes, you'll retain your connectedness to Am Yisrael. But your children, they won't be educated in that way, and their Kiddush Hashem, which they'll cause, is the Kiddush Hashem of Goliath being defeated by David. It's interesting, you see that many times in Jewish history, that the people who, even if they themselves, Mendelssohn, everybody remembers Moses Mendelssohn, he's a very frum fellow, but he regarded Judaism as a beautiful icon, and halachas as very important cultural and even divine standards of conduct, but without any inner connectedness to religion, which we'll see later on in greater detail this evening, but without any interconnectedness to religion as a way of refining and uplifting and being Davik and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And all of his children, all Shmadim, none of his children remain Jewish. So, depends. There's Dveikus, and then there's Neshika. And we don't need your kisses if they're not going to lead you to emulate what you see as being so noble and so good. Right? No, that's with the base, not with the vav. That's resh yud vav hey. That would be resh yud base hey. Yeah. Yes.
You chased after an opportunity to do a thing, but no, whether you did it or not. Like, you wanted to help somebody.
That's very nice, but that's a separate thing. Okay. Not for this evening. Let's go to Pasuk Tesvav. Now, I will come back to this later on, but not right now, which is that the word here, the Shem Hashem, which Naomi uses, is here, beginning here in Pasuk Yudalit already, is... Where is it? Gimel is... I'm sorry, I inverted the play of the Pesukim here. That's what it looks that way. Sorry, I apologize, and I photocopied it. I photocopied on page 2. The bottom page should be on top. You see that? So it's Yudke Vavke. I'm sorry, I apologize. I misread it before. That's why I found the word name Shakai here, but it's not here. Let me read the pasuk again the right way. Halenti sabena ada sheik dolu halenti againa levilti osish abu nosaiki mali mod mikem kiyotze bibiyat Hashem. Sorry, we'll get the name Shakai later on. Apologize. Delete that from the record. Don't pay any attention to that. Okay, let's go on to Pasuk Tezvav. Vatayma, she said, Hinei shova yivim techalamo. She said to Ruth, look, the root, she went back, to her nation and to her God, to the rest of the earth. So Lipovitz points out the connection of Am and Elohim. Amim are defined by their gods, by their religions. The several names in Hebrew for nations, Goy, Uma, Am, Lashon, so each one is a different defining characteristic. If I recall correctly, the Malvim's classifications, so off the top of my head, I'm not sure I'm right, but an Am is defined by its religion, and Uma is defined by its country, by its geographical location. A Goy is any collection of peoples who are united in some way. So here, if she's going back to her Am, by definition she's going back to Elohim, because there's no such thing as an Am without a God. That's what unites people of common religion. So he went back. You go back too. Vatome Rus in the next two psukim says her famous speech. Let's read those two psukim together. Vatome Rus says, Al-tif-ki-bi, don't disturb me in this way. Al-tif-ki-bi means don't be confront me. Lazvech, that I should leave you. Lashumi acharayach, to return from away from you. Ki el asher teleich yelech, to where you go, I will go. Uvasher tolini, and where you will sleep, olina, I will sleep. Amech ami, your nation is my nation. Velokayich, and your God, Elokai, is my God. Vasher tamusi amus, where you will die, I will die. Veshamek kaver, and that's where I will bury. Koya aseh Hashem li, whatever travails I had, may God do them to me, v'koyosif, and add travails to me if I leave you. No, ki amavis, only death, yafid ben yu ben echo, will separate the two of us. Of a lot of things here in this pasuk, a lot of important things here. First of all, if you take a look in Rashi here, which quotes from the Targum, from the Chazal, he says that, I won't read it inside, but Rashi goes through, I'll tell you what Rashi says outside. Naomi told Ruth, we have a concept of Tchum Shabbos, not allowed to walk more than 2,000 amos on Shabbos. Ruth says, where you go, I go. If you don't go more than 2,000 amos, I won't go more than 2,000 amos. Vasher Tolini Olin, we have an Isser of Yichud. You can't sleep together, you can't stay in the same house as another man, as a man who's not your husband. So Naomi, she says, Naomi, I'll go with you. Wherever you go, I'll go. The way you sleep, I'll sleep the same way. But Amechami, Naomi said, we have to fulfill mitzvahs in our nation. We have 613 mitzvahs. That's what defines Am Yisrael. That's our religion. I'll do that. Elokai, Elokai, we have an Israel of Avodah Zarah. I'll do that too. Basher Tamus Yamus, we have the dinim of 4 Arba Mitzvahs Beitin. Skilo Sreifa, Herek, and Chenek. I'll die that way if I have to. The Shamek Kaver. The halacha states that after you're killed with a misas basin, one of the capital punishments, you're buried in a special plot until your body rots, and then you can go to your... They take you to your forefather's cemetery. So there are two plots. One for people who get skila and srefa, and another plot for people who get hereg and chenek. One for those who are stoned and those who are burnt to death, swallow the hot lead, and the other for the people who are either suffocated or won through with a sword. So Ruth says, I'm a kabbal that as well. all these things I accept upon myself. So it's interesting what she being told here. The major tenets of Judaism on the one hand, Shabbos, Arayis, but it's interesting, not the major Shabbos and Arayis halachas, the Rabbans, Chum Shabbos, Yichud, which is not clear that it's the Daraisa, then Kiyum Mitzvos, Vimunah Mitzvos, then Avodah Zarah, of course, and Misas Beis Din. Well, the last thing is very strange about Misas Beis Din, about dying and being buried. Why is that so significant to tell her? So the Malbim connects it. He has a long part, a long discussion here with emuna, with primary belief in the eternity of the soul and reward and punishment. In other words, that we're so concerned with how we die and how we're buried demonstrates that we have a belief in our nation with that the soul remains eternally and that there's reward and punishment, and Ruth is makabel that emuna as well.
This is a drush, but I don't see where that's shot in the...
Who says it's shot? It's medrash.
It's medrash.
Medrash. So this probably has to do also with dikduk hadin. We'll come back to it later on. It has to do with dikduk hadin, with, I think, meticulous nature of halacha. In other words, she's telling Ruth, hey, look, you can get zapped. Our halacha is not so simple. It's not like, you know, religion where, touchy-feely kind of religion where, you know, you have to love everybody and everything will be fine and dandy. No. We got capital punishment in our religion. We even medactic on where you're buried. It's not so simple by us. Another reason, perhaps, that she mentioned this is that where she says, Amech Ami. So the Messiah links that with the Apostle who says, Va'amech Kulam Tzadikim. Your nation is a nation all of Tzadikim. So we know, what does the Amech Kulam Tzadikim mean? So Naomi said to her, listen, Ruth, it's true all Jews have a chelik in Olam Haba, but it's not so simple to get there. On the way, there's Misas Beis Din sometimes, there's difficult kivura. It's not an easy route. If you remain a non-Jew, it's much easier to get to Olam Haba. You can be a chassid umas olam and get to Olam Haba that way as well. Why bother with our method? Stay with your method. So now she says, I'm a kabbal it all on myself. Even the difficulties of getting to Olam Haba, I'm a kabbal that way myself. Now, that's all the drushes which Rashi brings down. There's another drusha here, which is interesting to see in Rav Yosef Lipovitz, which connects with what we told you about a few minutes ago, on page 6. V'lashon Chazal, where I have the F. V'lashon Chazal. Came and Shishama Naomi came once. Naomi's heard this. So there's the funeral. Hilchus Gergerim. She started telling. Once she heard that Ruth wants to go, she started telling Halachos of Gerim. Amar Lo, she said to her, Biti, my daughter, Ain't Darkon Shabbos Shor Leilech the Batei Tiatros the Batei Kirkasol Shalakum. We don't go to theaters, and we don't go to circuses. Amar Lo, she said, El Shetei Leichi Eilech. Where you go, I go. It's amazing. Shall Thibiu Ram, according to this Pshat, she begins to game, Lomi Gufe Torah, not from the primary tenets of Torah, Mitayak Mitzvah Se Velosa Se, from the 613 mitzvahs, El Kilmina Tzaba, like from the side, Mimeniat Salichosa, from depriving her of going, Labati Tiatros, to theaters and Kirkasos and circuses. Remarkable. Mashmash Chazal Ra'u B'davar, they saw in this Yisod Musa, a basic tenet, the Kabbalah Somar Shemaim, for accepting the yoke of heaven. And you certainly are sitting here amazed and asking, Kulei Hai Kesa, why is this so important? Why can't I go every once in a while to the theater or the circus? Ach Divrei and Kamo Divrei Torah. But their words are like the words of Torah. Sometimes sometimes they're poor in one spot, and they're interpreted, they're richer in another spot. The Gemara it says in Avodah Zarah Nikraim Kol Batei Tzchok Halolu, all these places of entertainment are called Moishav Leitzim. Shalem Akosu Voimer, and then the Pasuk says Moishav Leitzim Lo Yashav. You shouldn't sit at Moishav Leitzim. Kim Besoras Hashem Chepto, but pursue the Torah of God. Mitochtivei Akosu Eila. From this we learn Anu Shomim Shemoishav Leitzim, going to a Moishav Leitzim, the Torah Hashem, the Torah of God. His Vorim and Gadim are polar opposites, which contradict one another. V'areinu yodim, we know, sh'toras Hashem yigam derech ha'chaim, that the Torah of Hashem is the way of life. V'gam tfitzas olam shmeima, and an entire velt anshaum. Sh'mamina, from this we know, sh'gam moshav leitzim. Also, moshav leitzim is amir, it has the audacity, lios derech, to want to be a mahalach. It is. It's an approach, and a shita, an opinion, a system. Shimlo kain, because if not, ain kana kbola shekneged, there's no corresponding parallel. Vamnam, and indeed, al divrei anachosh, on the words of the serpent, v'isem kelokim yodei tov ra, you'll be like a god knowing good and evil. Mirim chazal, from chazal say, mikan shayo leitzon. We see that nachosh was a clown. Both are the clown. V'vadei shedir shebedivrei asasa, and in the words of seduction, shepita anachosh kneged Hashem, which the snake seduced to go against God, Sfuna, there's hidden hashkafa mesuyama, a certain hashkafa, a certain worldview. Avshena nirolono, even though it's not clear to us, what was it? Vishatia mikshol rishol mina anoshi, that there should be a certain vishoyis, and this hashkafa was the first tami bak lamina anoshi. Yotzi lono comes to us, shinin leitzonus, this clowning around, eno musav al dibur matzchikim is not in the humor. It's not just being a comic, but there's deep approaches here. And since they're not true, it's leitzonus. Leitim enam anshe chum dechidu. Leitim are not just jolly people. The humor, you're looking for humor. Elabali deos mutos umatos. They are possessors of erroneous and deluding opinions. And he goes on to describe this. He says, V'araya, theaters and circuses, is something, Lamaisa, which I can never fathom, probably because I'm Jewish, is that you know that in the non-Jewish world, an opera, a ballet company, a theater, is a charity. Thus, heistat stoka, right? You give to those the things in which you are charitable activities. So they would taina, says Rabbi Yisrael Lipovitz, that they're providing culture for society. Says Rabbi Yosef, no. How much culture have they provided for the societies? All these societies which have plays and operas and ballets. It's made these people better people, more refined, better. No, never. And this is antithetical to Judaism, says Rabbi Yosef Lipovitz, because what it represents is entertainment. And it doesn't represent the true simcha shel mitzvah, the joy of refining oneself and making oneself a better person. And that's what Naomi was telling Ruth, according to this medrash. We're different than the goyim. We're not out for entertainment, we're out for edification. And constant building and constantly being uplifted. And it's interesting because the words in which Chazal darshes, Basher telechi eleich, are connected to the 2,000 amos of Tchum Shabbos. The other medrash. Why? Because Chum Shabbos also has that meaning. We have boundaries. On Shabbos, we don't go for tiurim. We can't just go and have a good time walking around. The boundaries. We're limited. We're told by those halachas, in essence, focus internally on what you can do to make yourself a better person. Sit and learn, sit and contemplate, get involved in some shir, in some limud, in some yis'alus, in some kedusha. And that's a very basic difference, which he's telling Rus, which is much more perhaps important than all the halachas of Gerus. Judaism is a religion which requires that you don't distract yourself, and you don't try and entertain yourself, but you constantly challenge and build and uplift yourself. Now, you mentioned before this is all medrash and apshat. It's an important thing to realize about Tanakh, which is that in Tanakh, there's only the tip of the iceberg of any discussion is mentioned. It's a big yisoid in Tanakh, and they rise from the Tanakh itself, all over the place. And when Chazal say Medrash, it's not always that they're saying that that's the pshat in the words. The words are very, here of Ruth, are very stirring, very noble, very passionate, and they make sense on their own without the Medrash of Chazal. But Chazal are telling us this is also a component of the conversation. Not just what is apparent, which the Tanakh felt as most important to tell us, but there are other things which went on as well. So of course there are basic concepts here of identification, of clinging, of having a connection and all that kind of stuff. But be more than that, the Tanakh, the Medrash is telling us what happened besides that. And it's important to understand that even in Medrash there are layers. Some things which the Medrash says are allegorical, and some things the Medrash says are things which were actually transpired, just Tanakh doesn't tell us. And I believe that since we're learning out Hilchos Gerus from Ruth's encounter with Naomi here on the road back home, that this was in fact Midrashim, which are telling us additional components of the conversation, not just allegory. Making myself clear? I can't prove it to you, but that's my feeling. Okay, let's go on to the next pasuk. The pasuk, what pasuk are we up to now? Pasuk Yud Ches. I thought we'd get to finish the parak tonight. Okay. Vatera ki misametzes hi lo lechets. Naomi saw that Ruth was overpowering. She was courageously going. She stopped talking to her about turning back. So Reb Tzadok says a very interesting thing on this pasuk. He says, she saw that kimisametzes is used to always on Sunday where you're artificially strengthening yourself. And here it's used, says Reb Tzadok, in that Naomi saw that Ruth's Yetzirah was not going to go back to Moab. The simple thing, the easy thing, would be for her to follow Orpah. And Naomi saw that she was mitzametzes. She was intentionally fighting and combating that and trying to overcome that drive to go back. That's what she wanted to see. That it's a struggle, and that Ruth's had this overpowering desire, not overpowering desire, this overpowering self-control and cognition that she has to overcome the simple desire to go back, and she has to convert to Judaism. And Tzadok says that we're normally afraid that a goy is going to be a guy because of one of three loves, for a man, for a power, for money. Ruth had none of that in mind, but she got all three. She married Boaz, she got a man, she got authority, and she got money as well. Okay, so they went back. They both went ad bo'ana beis lechem until they came to beis lechem. The Mepharshim notes here, they all say vatilachna shteim means they both went together as one, as equals. In other words, once somebody has decided to be megayer, they're like Jews. There's no difference between a born Jew and a ger. They're mamish the same. Besides that, vatilachna shteim is reminiscent of the Akedah. By the Akedah it says vayechu shteim yachta. They both went with the same lishma. Here too, they both came back with the same lishma. When they came to beis lechem, the city was amazed. First of all, they were amazed. A ger was a very rare thing in those days. It was a ger. It was a wonderful thing. A daughter of a king, a princess, especially from Moab. Who ever heard of a ger from Moab before? Right? Besides that, Vatmarna Zos Naomi, they were astounded at Naomi primarily. A, because some people were saying, she got her comeuppance. Right? She left us in our time of travail, serves her right. B, they were saying, on the other hand, some of them were saying, look how terrible this is. There are both sentiments going on. Some people were upset, some people were gleeful. But the whole city was in commotion about the home color here. Because I'll say another shot here. They say about the home color here that day Boaz's first wife died. And there was a lot of commotion in the city because there was Leviah that day. So you see, Mamash HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Misabe. And the same day Boaz's wife died, the new wife appears on the scene. All right. It's late. We'll have to stop here. We only have three psukim left in the parak. We'll finish them next week. But they're important psukim.